It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Did your first car give you independence? My 85 Chevy Nova absolutely did. In its final days, it moved me from Philadelphia to Minneapolis for my first real job. Broke down in Akron, Ohio, but a good mechanic got us back on the road. For Kaya Milstein of Milwaukee, her first car was the difference between landing her first job or risking homelessness after aging out of foster care. Since then, Milstein has built a career as an automotive educator, social media influencer, and founder of Mechanic Shop Femme. Her new book for buying and maintaining a car is called Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership. Kaya, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with your first car, the 2004 Buick Century, purchased for $7,000 out the door. Can you explain how it changed your life, this first car you bought?
You know, I had no intention of learning how to drive. As a foster kid, you are actually prohibited from getting a driver's license in most circumstances because of liability issues and the way the state laws are written and so forth. So it wasn't something I did. And then I got this job at Sears Auto Center, this job in a career that I had no idea about. And they said, well, do you have a driver's license? And I'm like, no. So I had to go get a driver's license. And then I had to get a car because now I had three part-time jobs. You need a car to get around in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
So I started the process by talking to people online and, you know, trying to get as much information as possible. And I went to Educators Credit Union and I said, hey, I don't have a job yet, but I have two job offer letters. I don't have a cosigner. I have virtually no credit, but here's my job offer letters. If I get this car, I can start working. And they gave me a car loan for this 2004 Buick Century. Man, it was like a boat, big, clunky car. And getting that car gave me independence. It gave me power. It allowed me to reach so much further than I could have ever expected. And even though I only had it for a few months before it was totaled, it still has that big impact.
I thought it was so interesting how you say that a carefully purchased car, a solid mechanic, and education can help propel someone out of poverty. What is so transformative about that equation?
I think a lot of people, when they think of a car, think of a luxury, something extra, something you don't need, something you only get if you have enough money for everything else in your life. But in America, in most of this country, having a car means you can take more jobs. Having a car means that you can rest between your jobs. I think people don't realize how long it takes to take a bus somewhere, especially if you have to take that bus several places over that time. If you can cut out all of that time and you can spend that time and focus on rest, having a car allows you to do that. Having a good car gives you the opportunity to get a leg up, to get more opportunities, to have more possibilities in front of you. However, buying the wrong car, spending your entire life savings on a car that has problems that you didn't know about, that can make you sink a lot further down in the hole. And I think when I was going to buy that first car and when I was getting advice from the people in my life, they were all extremely nervous about the fact that I was going to purchase a car and I was going to spend my money on this. I was going to take out a loan because they've seen so many other people fail miserably by buying a car with problems.
There's a risk involved.
Right. And those problems end up costing more than the car, or those problems are impossible to fix because now you've spent all your money on the car. So I really truly believe that it's not just buying a car, it's buying the right car, the one that fits your needs, the one that fits your budget, the one that is in as best condition as it can be. And if there are things wrong with it, that you are as prepared as you could be for them.
As I hear you talk, you've noted how you've carved out this unique role for yourself as a mechanic interpreter, translating some specialized car information for people and kind of being that wing person. Can you describe your role as you see it in cars?
The automotive industry is such an interesting place for people to interact with, especially women and queer folks and poor people and people of marginalized identities. When you walk into a repair shop, you're walking into a different world. You're walking into a place where a lot of times people don't have the fundamental respect for you, your communities, your life, who you are. For the sake of the industry and for the sake of its customers, change has to happen. And what I see as sort of my place in this is I'm not fixing anybody's car. I'm trying to equip car owners with the fundamental knowledge about car ownership. When we talked about buying a car, and that just covers the first two chapters of the book. My goal is to share all of the fundamental elements to teach you how to find that good mechanic and how to talk with them and how to vet them and how to communicate and how to build a relationship, so that my book is just the starting place. I'm helping you build the foundation of the knowledge that so many people weren't taught. I can never forget when I started making TikToks, a young man left a comment on my video and he said something to the effect of, "Thank you for teaching me about cars. My parents were too worried about trying to make me not gay to teach me basic life skills." And I think that kind of sums it up. I'm trying to teach people the things that their parents should have taught them. I'm trying to teach people the things that mechanics should explain to them, but often don't have the time or the communication skills to get that information to them. And I'm also trying to empower them to ask the questions, to know what to do, to have the backups, and to trust themselves, to trust their gut, and learn to trust the mechanic after a period of time, the one that they've built that relationship with. And that whole package together, the car, the mechanic, the book, the knowledge, the education, the empowerment, all of that together, that makes for a much better experience walking into a repair shop or a dealership and owning a car in general.
We're talking with automotive educator and influencer Kaya Milstein about her new book, Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership, and her approach to caring for cars and keeping them up. So you walk into a dealership and immediately a salesperson is in your face, perhaps making some assumptions about you. How do you prepare yourself to deal with the pushy, perhaps, salespeople in that environment?
Absolutely. Walking into a dealership, you're dealing with people that are car professionals. They are professional salespeople. They're professional negotiators. It is their job to get as much money from you as possible. That doesn't necessarily make them bad people, and they might be very, very helpful. But you never know what you're dealing with when you're walking in, and you don't know who you're dealing with. And based on my experiences and so many other people, countless people that I talk to on a regular basis, walking into the dealership is scary. The way that people are treated at the dealership can be very frustrating and very angry. Even if the car buying process itself is smooth, the way that people can be treated because of their gender, sexuality, or life circumstances always makes things more complicated. So what I always say is that you should learn as much as you can before you walk into the dealership. You should know the answers to nearly every question you have before you walk in the door. Today, you can do everything except for test driving at the car outside of the dealership. You can figure out what your needs and your budget are. You can figure out monthly payments based on your budget and interest rates. You can figure out what the best cars are by doing research on places like Consumer Reports and getting more information and looking at cars that are similar that might also meet your needs. You can do your research about the specific car that you're going to walk into and look at. Look at the history of the vehicle. Look at all the details. Go through the pictures. If you have any questions about the car buying process, research those questions before you walk in so that you are as prepared and educated as possible to advocate for yourself.
And then it's time for going on a test drive. And I was a bit surprised by how long you think a test drive should take. What is the ideal test drive?
I think a test drive should take 15 to 30 minutes minimum.
Wow.
when you're test driving a vehicle, you aren't just making sure that your body fits in the car. You want to make sure that the car runs and drives and behaves the way that you would expect it to. But you also want to make sure that the car is a fit for your needs. One example that I give frequently is people who drive, who are thinking about buying a Subaru, and they've previously driven a Jeep or a truck or something along those lines. And if they've never driven a Subaru before and they get into the Subaru and they start driving, they will feel immediately discombobulated because Subarus are very responsive. You sort of touch the steering wheel, the car goes which way you tell it to. You tap the brakes, the car stops. You need to drive the car to figure out if it's a fit for you. You need to drive the car so that you can listen to it, especially the older and the more miles the car has, to see if there's anything that sticks out to you, any red flags. You need to take it through its paces on the highway and on the regular road, because what if a problem doesn't happen until you hit 50 miles an hour, right? Mm.
Yeah. Well, let's do one MythBuster here. Winterizing here in Wisconsin, winter upon us, snow potential. What do you recommend when it comes to, air quotes here, winterizing your car and driving in the snow?
Winterizing is kind of a misnomer. It is not something that really exists. People will sell you winterizing services. Usually they mean replacing the coolant and replacing the thermostat. And cars today don't need that to be done every single year. In fact, most cars don't need to replace the coolant for 50 to 100,000 miles, let alone every 12 to 15,000 miles, which is the average driving an American is doing in their car. If you take care of your car regularly, if you maintain it, you take it in for service, you do everything that your owner's manual says, there isn't a whole lot more you have to do to prepare for winter. Now, of course, there's some things that you might want to take extra into consideration, making sure your tires are not worn past the point where it makes sense to drive them in the snow, making sure you put new wiper blades on your car so that you can clear your windshield when you're in those situations, making sure your brakes are in the position that they should be, making sure you have washer fluid that is conducive to the climate and not just the cheapest washer fluid at the grocery store or the gas station, because those aren't always graded for winter weather and they can freeze in your washer fluid reservoir. So if you haven't maintained your car, if you haven't gone to the mechanic recently, going in, getting the car checked out, getting an oil change, a once-over, a multi-point inspection, definitely a good place to start. And then figuring out from the list they give you of things you need, what is the priority? What has to be done now? What could, you know, what's maintenance? And maybe you have to wait for a few paychecks before you can handle it, and what you need to do next.
When I read your guidebook, I promptly closed it and went out to the car to see if I could find the owner's manual. Never looked for it in the glove box, really. Never paid attention to it. Why should we know our owner's manual?
One of the most common things I get from like haters or trolls on social media is they tell me, you can find everything that you're talking about in your owner's manual. And I say, yeah, I have a whole chapter about the owner's manual. I agree. There's a whole lot you can learn in your owner's manual. But here's the thing. If you never open up the owner's manual, you're not going to learn anything. Your owner's manual is full of information to help you be a better car owner. The most important elements that I think are the maintenance schedule. When you should do what services, how often, at what mileage or what age you should do, how often you should change your oil, your spark plugs, your timing belt, your coolant, all of those things that you sometimes go and ask the internet or ask your friends and get such a wide array of answers. Your owner's manual will tell you what your car actually needs. It's going to tell you all kinds of other stuff, warranty, how to turn buttons on, what different dash lights on. It is so full of information. And I know that the book itself can be very intimidating, especially if it's piled under a bunch of junk in your glove box, or maybe doesn't exist, like in your case. You can find a digital version of your owner's manual online. And if you are tech savvy, you can press Control F and you can search the owner's manual for what you're specifically looking for as you start to learn more about your car and what's in it.
Kaya, it's so good to talk with you. Thank you so much for the tips. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me here.
That was automotive educator and influencer Kaya Milstein offering stories and advice from her new book, Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership. Get in touch with us. Share your story about your car experiences at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.